It is indeed good to be here and to be with you and to celebrate a wonderful Sunday as we launch off into a new year. And as with anything new, it can be a little intimidating, increase anxiety, and it's not just my anxiety, it's yours as well. We're kind of in this together. As sitting here and enjoying and worshiping here at the beginning, you wonder, before I get into the scripture reading, that how intimidating can it be and what are the expectations? I don't know how many of you know there's a clock right there. And I thought I got rid of that when my daughters used to time me in the pulpit, but now I got the whole congregation timing me. And then the realization is yes, ordained in the Lutheran church and come from a Lutheran background. And I wonder, you know, I ask, well, how long does, you know, do you preach and all that here? And I said, well, I'll go back to the Reformation when Luther was around, and he was at a minimum of an hour. So we're all good with that, right? So that means the tacos will probably be gone by the time we get out. I'm always reminded, my good father always reminded me, he said, remember, the mind can only endure what your seat can endure. The duration is based off of the comfort of one's backside. So it's good to be with you. This morning, our scripture reading from Luke is rather long, but as I get into it and I ask you to listen, as you listen to it, be mindful or ask, think about what questions you have about it. Where are you at on your road to Emmaus? So if you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, it begins on page 856. From the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Now on that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. When he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They are saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These things are my words that I have spoke to you while I was still with you, and everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." Here ends our reading. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, as we reflect and take time upon your reading, be with us, guide us, and direct us in your word, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The picture on the front of your bulletin is the picture of a line handler in the Navy who has a particular task. This particular individual, generally a bosun mate, has a task when a ship is moored or tied to the pier to take care of the lines. In this particular case, the size of the ship determines the number of lines that are over the side that tie it to the pier. And most of the time, it's multiple lines that are there. And he's responsible for care of those lines as it protects the ship and keeps it from drifting away from the pier. One of the final things that this individual has to do when a ship gets ready to get underway is he tends to those lines, and a command is given in which all is heard is, "Single up all lines. Single up all lines." What that means is that all the lines, there might be two or three lines to one particular cleat or bulliard on the pier, all go down to one line. Only one line connecting that ship to the pier. Single all lines. Prepare to get underway. And the ship is there waiting to go to sea. Now, you may have guessed at this point that my perspective is a little bit unusual. It's kind of naval-oriented. That's with N-A-V-A-L, not N-A-V-E-L. We're not talking about oranges and tangerines. Naval-oriented, that's where the stories and where I've spent a good chunk of my life, and I use those because you're sitting there going, okay, who is this that has been called to be transitional pastor? Who is this individual? What is his story? What is his story and his encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ as he has sailed through life? As he has walked to the road to Emmaus. Briefly, we all have great stories, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But my story is this. Ever since I was young and little, I moved quite a bit and lived in transition my whole life. Life is one of transition. Transition in that the position that my father had was in the 60s and 70s. When you got promoted, you got moved physically, changed geography. And that happened quite frequently. I had lived in, I was in my fourth state before I even began kindergarten. I'd gone from Nebraska to Kansas, back to Nebraska to Iowa, and finally Minnesota, where I started elementary school. But transition didn't end then. Transition continued in life as I went to four elementary schools in four states as I began my fifth grade year. Transition was just what we did. As a part of that transition, a part of our lives that my mother and father had perceived and realized, as our disciples on Emmaus perceived and realized, was how do you ground your life? So every time we moved, every place we went, the first thing my parents did was to find a church home and to ground the family in worship on Sundays and activities during the week, and to be at rest and at peace with God's people. That's where we were at. Now, that's a lot of church homes. People ask, where do you lay your head at night and where is home? And I said, when I was in the Navy, home is where I put my head down at night. It's where the family was located. I was from a place, but not necessarily that was that home anymore. Some of us have been members here for how long? 50 years? 60 years? Living in California when we came back the second time in 2010 was the longest I had ever lived in one location my entire life. A little bit over a decade. It's always interesting that life is one of transition, and that's what our disciples are experiencing on the road to Emmaus. What does a life of transition look like? What does a life when everything's been turned upside down and inside out look like? Because here they were on the road to Emmaus trying to perceive and understand everything that taken place that very day. Here are the disciples. Imagine, as you will, the disciples who heard Jesus teach, who saw Jesus do miracles, raise people from the dead, heal the sick. Here is Jesus who taught them and showed them the way, and they knew from the prophets and from the law what was to take place when the Messiah came. Why are they surprised? Why are they confused? Are you confused? I get confused all the time. But here they are, walking along, trying to put everything into perspective and to understand how life had changed, how life had was a one of transition, how life is life, no matter where we're at and where we are going. As a sailor, I was fortunate in that I did not have to move as many times as a lot of my colleagues had to. I had colleagues who moved 13 times in 26 years. I was fortunate. I was lucky. But we did enough moves and enough changing of schools and that when we were getting ready and I accepted orders to come back to California, my oldest daughter asked me, I said, Dad, I have one promise I want from you. I have one request, but I want you to promise me one thing. Well, what's that? Can I graduate from the high school that I start at? I had colleagues who moved their daughters and their children their senior year in high school, and it wasn't just cross country. One of them was to Okinawa, Japan, for her senior year. I said, sure, we can make that happen. We can see where we go from there. And that's the seas that we sailed as a family. The seas that we sailed as a family, as transition, were seas in which I served aboard two aircraft carriers. Small little ships. Have a crew and an air wing of 5,000 people in a space of 3.5 football fields long, and about 250, 350 feet wide. You know, take LAX and put it at sea. That's what you're doing. Carried 80 aircraft roughly, and we flew planes off of it. That's where I sailed for two of my tours. Two of my tours, I had the opportunity as a Navy chaplain. We also served with the Marine Corps, so I served with the Marine Corps twice. Once at Camp Pendleton, California, the other one in Okinawa, Japan. One of my other tours was I had the distinct opportunity to serve with the Navy SEALs down in Coronado, where they thought it was most appropriate to test my faith by sending me to Army Airborne School and said, you will learn to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. And I did. I've got over 50 static line jumps from about 1,250 feet. So test your faith and your trust, particularly when you know that it's a 19-year-old packing your parachute. But they're trained right and they do everything well. And then one of the most challenging places that we went and served was, as I say, and people have heard it already this past week, is I spent 3 years at the five-sided Wailing Wall in Washington, D.C. Anybody have any idea what that would be? Pentagon. Spent 3 years working at the Pentagon and wandering the halls there with people. And through all of that, you realize those people are no different than you and I. We're all God's children, living and transitioning in the world and everything that is getting about and where we are at. We all have different experiences and stories to tell of those experiences. To know our own story is to tell our story of how Christ, the resurrected Christ, is with you and with me as we journey through life, as we transition through life. It doesn't matter what our transition is, because it always seems we're doing something in transition, whether it's looking for jobs or illness or health or, you know, conflict with at home or conflict at work or good stuff at home or whatever you want to call it. We're always seeming to be in transition and moving forward. That's where we're at. I was reminded of that yesterday. I was reminded yesterday of how much we're in transition and how much our stories are important. An individual that I've gotten to know very well over the last decade, I would say, is a chaplain in the Naval Reserves, and she was getting promoted to lieutenant commander yesterday, and she asked me to come to her promotion ceremony. And so obviously, yes, you go and attend and celebrate them with that milestone and that accomplishment. Afterwards at lunch, we were talking about how God's hand intervened and makes things happen. What happened was, is she was thinking about joining the Army Chaplain Corps, and one of her friends, she's part of the Vineyard Church, was a pastor and also served in the Navy, so he convinced her to join the Navy. God's hand to get her into the Navy. But she couldn't quite get into the Navy. See, as she would say, she was past her prime. She needed an age waiver. Well, all things are possible. You can get age waivers, right? It wasn't that big of a deal. You could get an age waiver. And we were able to get her an age waiver, and there's other stumbling blocks. But the biggest stumbling block was this, is the Navy has certain qualifications that you have to have. The bottom line is you have to have so many credit hours towards a Master of Divinity. Okay? What was interesting was it took three of us some phone calls to make it happen. You see, she was told by the Navy that her PhD from Cambridge University and being an adjunct professor at Fuller was not good enough. You did not have the right number of credits at the master's level. Seriously. To be in the chaplain corps. It took her friend, who is a captain, a colonel, 06 in the Navy, making several phone calls. It took the new reserve rear admiral, flag officer, to make phone calls. There was a chaplain. Then they came to me and said, you know how this works because you served in D.C. and all that. And it took me making phone calls. And today, yesterday, she was promoted to lieutenant commander. God's hand was in all of that. God's hand in her story was in all of it, showing the way. That's her story of God walking, not just with her, but in each and every one of us that walked alongside of her. She didn't do it alone. None of us do it alone. None of us. Somebody is always helping us along the path. God is always walking with someone through someone else and showing us how to get there. Our stories are important. They tell us how we have been formed and how God is with us, how the resurrected Christ is with you, how Jesus walks with us every step of the way. Our stories are important, not just her story, but I was reminded also of the story of how Christ walked with one of my first parishioners up in North Dakota. I don't know, it was a naivete or a lack of intelligence that I volunteered and accepted eventually a call to a three-point congregation in northern North Dakota, right out of seminary. And northern North Dakota is, you take it, you fold the state in half, at the fold, go 6 miles south of the Canadian line, and that's where I was at. I drove south to Minot. Went out for Chinese food up in Deloraine, Manitoba. It was 20 minutes away, rather than going other places. But we're shaped by our stories, where we live, and in the process, we see God in those stories. I went out to visit one of my parishioners out in North Dakota, and I arrived at the family farm, which his father and mother had settled, decades earlier. And I asked a question, because in the farmyard, there was this 10 by 20 foot sod hut. And I said, well, what's with the sod hut? He goes, that's the homestead. He says, we use it for storage now, but my dad cut the sod and built the roof on it. Okay. He says, then he goes, I was born in that sod hut. He spent his entire life on that one piece of land, farming with his dad and then now farming on his own. But his story of the whole time was the church that he went to and how God was with them on the prairie of North Dakota through all that they had lived with. That's his story. Your story is different. Your story is here. You're sailing here. And each one of our stories is a story of God with us, of the resurrected Christ walking with us where we are at. And so we come to today as we walk along and we hear the command, not just to share our stories, but we hear the naval command to single up all lines. To single up all lines, go down to one line, prepare to get underway, prepare to go to sea. And so the bosun mate, the sailors on the pier are ready, standing by that single line that we have. And so that's the question that I have for us here this morning at Hollywood Prez. Are you ready to single up all lines? Then the next command after single up all lines is cast off. Our lines are cast off after our benediction today. Our lines are cast off and we are at sea. We are sailing together in the ship, in our community of faith here with one another. It's a transition. It is life and we are here together. Sailing along that path, sailing the seas to navigate are stories of where God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will take each and every one of us as individuals, as families, as a community in Christ. God is our great navigator. God is the one on the resurrected Christ who shows us that all things are new. And I'd ask you this day as we cast off, as each Sunday we celebrate all things new and that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and we have a new day and a new week ahead of us. As we celebrate that today, what's new? You've already heard what's new. It was mentioned in announcements. Do you know what's new today? Everybody forget already? We got a new website. Right? What else is new? Pew Bibles. Really, are we asleep already? It's only 11:59. What else is new? It's kickoff Sunday. We're starting a new year. All things are new. All things are resurrected in Christ and brought to us. And we journey together in telling that, in telling our stories, and we celebrate that every single Sunday. As we cast off, as we move into some what we might call uncharted waters, but they're not uncharted, we got God as the navigator, and we will do just fine. But as we go to sail this day, as we put to sea, tell one another your stories. Share the love of Christ with each other and the world around us. To God be the glory now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this glorious day. As we have singled up all lines here throughout this day and we get ready to cast them off, we ask that you be with us as we set sail on our new year. Guide us and direct us. Bless us and show us your way. For we surely know that he who gives the day will show the way, so we securely go. Amen.